This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Please welcome accomplished pitcher and popular broadcaster, Steve Stone.
Yes.
Steve Stone.
The White Sox having success at Birmingham. Are you noticing that? Paying attention to it? Does it portend good things in your mind?
Well, I will tell you, Speaks, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
Let's go down to Brooke to get to know Shane Smith a little better.
Final question for him is, if you had to sing a song in front of a big crowd with no preparation, what song would you go with? He said, Party in the USA. He actually did a little impromptu karaoke in high school in front of the entire school, and Party in the USA was his go-to song. It's always a crowd pleaser, right? And Steve, I know we're working on your playlist here. You got to be a Miley Cyrus fan. You love Party in the USA, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I party everywhere, but the USA is probably the best place to party at.
Steve Stone with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's great to be able to talk baseball and White Sox with Steve Stone. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Stoney, it's good to talk to you, especially after your May the 4th be with you bobblehead yesterday over on the South Side. I was thinking of you because I ran across a reel where they were talking about the movie Major League, and they were talking about the villain in that movie, Clue Hayward, who was played by former Major Leaguer Pete Vukovich. And what made me think of you was that the director had talked about how they based that character on Thurman Munson, and I never knew that.
I didn't know it either, and Pete Vukovich was a real character. He won the Cy Young Award, I think, a couple of years after I won it. And the good part about that was I had the highest earned run average ever to win a Cy Young Award until Pete. So he broke my record, and I was ecstatic with that. Every time I see him, he scouted for a lot of years, and I went, hey, way to go, Pete. Yeah, you got me out of the book. Way to go, pal.
That's amazing. But you had a better year than Pete, though. I mean, for anybody who doesn't know, I mean, you don't feel like your Cy Young was undeserving, do you, Steve Stone? You earned that thing.
No, I think that in the last 47 years, there's only been two guys to win 25 or more games. One of them, unfortunately, passed away. That was Bob Welsh, and the other was me. So, yeah, I think I earned it.
Wow. That's amazing.
It made me smile. Like, I was like, oh, wow, I had no idea that was the thing. And then and to see it all play out and have it all connected, I love when dots connect in baseball.
He was Thurman was a character. He was you know, the probably one of the real early hard-nosed players for that generation. And the rivalry with Carlton Fisk and Thurman was terrific because obviously the Red Sox Yankee rivalry was great. And I truly believe Thurman would have made the Hall of Fame had he not had the plane crash, which turned out to be very sad.
Steve Stone with us on the Spiegel and Holmes show here on 670 The Score. Josh Rojas comes back yesterday and was a nice part of a good win. White Sox win a series. Some other things have been going pretty well for the White Sox overall. This is a good moment in terms of how they're looking and how they're performing on the field.
Well, you know, Speaks, what I've been saying is that it hasn't translated into as many wins as this team would like, but the brand of baseball is better. The guys are really hustling. I haven't found one guy who is not giving it everything he's got just about on every play. They're taking turns aggressively, and they're looking to take the extra base. If one of the fielders bobbles a ball at all, they're off to the races. We're stealing bases. Luis Robert is running like he's the best base stealer in baseball, and he might not be the best, but he's right up there. We're running into a team now here in Kansas City that's going to try to run us out of the ballpark, but I think we're just doing a whole lot better across the board. And, you know, we still have those games where you make a couple of errors and you let things slip away. And we do know that there's some issues with the back end of the bullpen, but you can't fix everything at once. And I think this particular administration, both the front office and the dugout, I think are doing a great job with what they have to work with at this point.
In the sixth inning yesterday, Chase Meidroth walks, steals second, comes home on a two-out single by Luis Robert. Then Robert steals second, and he scores on an Edgar Caro single for what ends up being the game-ending run, game-winning run. So there's three guys who are, I think, legit big leaguers and showing what you're talking about, stealing bases, getting two-out knocks. Robert, overall, I think now he's got, I believe it's 10 hits over his last nine games, three homers and eight RBIs in there. Some good defense as well. He's having a moment where he looks like the top end of what Luis Robert is supposed to look like, isn't he, Steve?
Well, a couple of years ago, he was one of the best players in baseball. You look at those numbers and they jump out at you. And then he had some problems. What it was, I don't know. I'm not sure that he knows exactly, but he's starting to come around. And if we ever get warm weather in Chicago, and it's very warm here today. I mean, warm by early baseball standards. It's 74 degrees, so it's great. I think he loves when the weather is like that. And hopefully against a really good pitcher, Cole Reagans, he's going to be able to perform, because Cole is a pretty good pitcher. We dodged him all of last year, which is a good thing, but we run into him here today.
Stoney, we've been having a conversation today about Andrew Vaughn, and In a season like this with the White Sox, I think the place that we both kind of landed was, sure, allow him to continue to try and figure some of this stuff out. This has been his most struggling season that he's had as a major leaguer. I know you were high on him and some of the tools. Why hasn't it come together for him?
On my podcast, Aspire With Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire With Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, early in the season last year was the same thing. He didn't have a particularly good first couple of months and then really turned it on the second half of the year. And everybody's hoping that the light turns on a little sooner this year. So it's not for lack of effort. He works very hard. He also hits the ball very hard. And, you know, the WOBA and ex-WOBA that everybody knows and loves, for him, it projects that he should be hitting a lot better than he's hitting. So he's not hitting great, but he is hitting in tough luck, and he does hit the ball hard. It's going at people. And hopefully he can find some line drives that fall, some little squibbers here and there. And, you know, he's been a good hitter most of his career, and this is inexplicable. I think he's looking for answers, as is everybody else. Marcus Thames is certainly looking for answers, but sometimes these guys get off to slow starts and things work out very well for them, and everybody is hoping that for Andrew that's the case this year.
You referenced him working hard. I don't know if the organization is even aware of a former farmhand who tweeted over the weekend about Andrew's work habits. It was in the context of wanting to talk about Tim Elko. But to your knowledge, did that tweet or that moment on social media make its way into the organization? Did it make its way to your attention, Steve?
No, I don't know what it was. So if you can illuminate me, I will find out if I think there's a lot of validity to it.
Oh, okay.
Who tweeted it?
It was a guy named Tyler Osick, former White Sox minor leaguer. And Tyler had tweeted, let me grab it here just so I I have it. He had tweeted that, "I'll tell the truth here, ... Andrew Vaughn would be out in Arizona golfing, and we would all be grinding in Arizona at the facility in the off season. He'd show up 2 times per week, dumbbell press 40 pounds, take 20 swings off the machine, show up and hit 250 with 15 bombs and 500 at bats, and then repeat it the next year. To me, that was just a slap in the face to all the people grinding to make it, given the keys to the game and took it for granted, ... Promote Tim Elko." So I don't know Tyler Osik, but that's some harsh words about Andrew Vaughn's offseason approach.
Well, I don't know Tyler Osik either. And I didn't see that particular tweet, but apparently Tyler didn't make it. So not that that is necessarily a yardstick for tweeting. As we know, some things, and I know this is going to shock you guys, some things that are tweeted actually aren't particularly accurate. I don't know if this one is, but, you know, many times what you do in, let's call it December or January, doesn't have a lot of basis if you're a veteran player for what happens in, call it May or June. So because Andrew has always hit a bit, I think he's going to hit again. And I think it's going to be hopefully a repeat of last year, where if you look at the second half numbers, and you also look at how hard he hits the ball, I'm hoping that he does come around. And as far as Tim Elko is concerned, you know, he's doing a great job down there. You can't diminish what he's done. He's not on the 40 man, so bringing him up to the major leagues would require dropping somebody from that 40 man. And why he is not here, that's really not my job. I don't know.
Stoney, how excited are you that Nancy Faust is going to be back in the ballpark this spring and summer?
Well, I think she's terrific. I mean, I just always loved her and what she did. And yeah, it's part of White Sox culture, and she's just a wonderful woman.
She's the best, and she invented the walk-up song with Dick Allen back in the early 70s. It's like, and she is, I know some of the organists around MLB, Steve, she is beloved and put on a pedestal by some of the great organists active in MLB. This is a wonderful thing and should be part of a great promotional year, having her for 6 Sundays, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think, look, you're celebrating 125 years in existence for the White Sox, and I didn't check, but did Tyler Osik tweet about her at all?
I don't think so. I hope not. Nancy doesn't deserve that.
Maybe she doesn't. She didn't work as hard in the wintertime as she usually did.
You're a great radio teammate, Stoney. We should have hipped you to that before we tossed it at you live. I'll go ahead and let people behind the curtain. Sorry about that. But it was when you mentioned the effort, I thought, maybe they did catch wind of this. So, yeah, no, and Nancy has not tweeted about Andrew Vaughn either.
I think that's terrific. But I have really curtailed my my tweetosphere, so I'm not quite as active on it as I once was.
You and me both, man. It's I think it's borderline whether it's a net negative or a net positive on society. It's right there on the edge. What do you think? Net negative, well, net positive?
Personally, I think it's net negative because I can't see the advantages of it for people putting out content. And, you know, if you're putting out content all the time, then you're really not getting anything back except a lot of negativity, because there is that. You know, there's people will tell you, anybody who participates a whole lot in tweeting and everything else, realizing that it doesn't matter what you say, but you're going to have, you know, 20 people attack you. And then if you try to defend that, then you have 20 more attack you. And just it's a law of diminishing returns.
I think you're probably right.
I think he's
about
right
that.
About it.
Wright Thompson
right
said it a long time ago.
Oh, I know. Should have just listened to him.
And he was dead on about it. The White Sox are going to take on the Royals. One of my favorite players in the league is Bobby Witt Jr. Watching that guy do what he's done. And he's another one of those players that you kind of identify early. And it wasn't hard with Bobby Witt Jr., but there are two guys that I think of when I watch them play and I hear your scouting reports in my head when they play. Bobby Witt Jr. is one of them, and Spencer Torkelson is the other one.
Man.
And it looks like Torkelson is back to where he was a couple of years ago, at least from a slugging standpoint. Share with people what you think of these two players, Torkelson with the Tigers, and obviously you guys are going to see Bobby Witt Jr. tonight.
Well, you know, obviously completely different players, but Bobby Witt is that rare combination of just about everything you want in a player, he is. And he plays an essential position, which is shortstop, and he plays it very well. And from the time he came into this league, he ran as hard as he could on every play, all game long, all year long. And it was just a pleasure to watch because he is what you'd want a young player to be if he didn't have the talent that Witt has. But you factor in the enormous talent he has and realize that he plays that position that you certainly want to strengthen if you don't have a great one to begin with. And here in Kansas City, you know, they love him, and why not? Along with Salvi Perez, who is one of the true leaders on this team, I think it gives him a couple of players that help lead the way. They don't have a lot of power on this team. The fact that they hit 7 home runs in Baltimore was kind of an aberration, but they've hit 10 home runs the last 2 games, so suddenly they're finding the ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark. But this is not a power-laden team, so this should be an interesting series. The fact is the White Sox haven't really played very well in this ballpark against this Kansas City team for quite some time. So hopefully the new version of the Sox can be pretty competitive in this series. I think right now I would take a split and not even play the games.
Who has impressed you, other than Shane Smith, who is one of the great stories among young starting pitchers in MLB, frankly? Who in the rotation has impressed you of late, Steve?
Well, Jonathan Cannon has done a terrific job, I think. I mean, these guys, these young pitchers are just learning how to do it. And the key to any pitcher is to learn how to win or keep your team in the game with less than your best. And I talk about Sandy Koufax a lot because his book, and it wasn't an autobiography, just a biography at the time, his book really turned everything around for me. I was averaging 12 strikeouts a game in the California League, which was the best Class A league in the country. It was my first stop. And with averaging 12 strikeouts a game, I was 3-10 with a 6-point ERA at the break because every guy wasn't striking out was doubling up the gap. And so I read Sandy Koufax's book, and he said, everybody argues about the best pitch in baseball. They talk about a curveball or a well-located fastball or a good changeup. He said, but the best pitch in baseball has been and always will be strike one. And that's what our guys are having to learn, how to throw strike one, how to stay ahead of these hitters, because we don't have big strikeout guys in this rotation. But we have a lot of pitchers who have good moving stuff. And I think with Ethan Katz and Brian Bannister, they're going to bring the best out of these guys. So the starting rotation is seemingly a lot better than it was. Yeah, Shane Smith has been terrific, and for a Rule 5 pick, That was pretty good by the boys in the front office. And also, Mike Vassell is one of those guys, another Rule 5 pick, and he's been wonderful coming out of the bullpen. So, you know, there's some light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully the boys find it sooner rather than later. But there's some great stories. I mean, Edgar Caro's a great story. He's a very young 22-year-old, meaning he just turned 22 a little bit ago. And you watch him at bat, he looks like His whole demeanor is that of a 10-year veteran. He doesn't get excited. The game doesn't move too fast for him. And he's really improved his not only his mechanics behind the plate, but the thought process. So that's really an exciting guy to watch on a daily basis. And, you know, Corey Lee should be coming back soon, which will give the Sox a real dilemma, because eventually Kyle Teal is going to be here. And you would think, and I don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but the Caro-Teal combination looks pretty good. But, you know, Corey Lee was looking real good before he turned his ankle. So this is going to be something that that the Sox will enjoy for the first time since I've seen them, which is a glut of talent behind the plate. I didn't think I'd ever use that associated with the White Sox.
No, it'd be great to see all three of them here together if need be. Let them all talk to each other. Let them all learn together. They all seemingly have a great attitude. We were just talking to Carson Kelly yesterday. He and Miguel Amaya are still teaching people, still teaching each other stuff. You know, catchers can learn from each other, Stoney.
They can, and Carson Kelly's been a great story for the Cubs. The Cubs are a terrific story as a team that looks like they should win the division this year. And Kelly is one of those guys that that's doing quite a job for them. And I guess their dilemma is, what are you going to do with Tucker?
They got to pay him. It's time.
Yeah. You know, you would think, but who knows?
Stoney, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for talking ball with us.
Okay, guys, have a good rest of the show, and I'll talk to you down the road.